Father, we thank you, Lord, for that great promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we are looking for that hope, and we know that soon and very soon you'll be coming for us to take us home. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. The entrance of your word brings light. And let our light shine in our hearts this morning, illuminating our souls and giving us an abundant entrance to make a connection with our spirit this morning. Give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on now. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, hallelujah. Now, this morning, who touched me? Who touched me? That's the question here this morning. And I'm going to start here in Mark chapter 5. There is a story that I want to tell you from the Bible here. This story is in Mark chapter 5 and it's also in Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read it out of Mark chapter 5 this morning anyway. You know, and there was this woman with the issue of the blood. One time, somebody came to Jesus to ask him to come do something for them. And as Jesus went, here's where the story happened. I'm going to start at verse 22 of Mark chapter 5. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. Verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said within herself, if I may just touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue was gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? In the book of Luke chapter 8, he says, who touched me? It's the way he asked the question. Let me turn to Luke chapter 8. And this same story, verses 43 to 48. And he said, he asked, you know, when he noticed that virtue was gone out of him, he said, who touched me? And verse 46. And Jesus says, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Verse 47 of Luke chapter 8. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people what was done. You know, she began. And then what cause she had touched him and how she had been healed immediately. But I want to go back to a couple of verses. In verse 45, when Jesus asked the question, who touched me? Peter and they that were with him said, Master, you see the multitude thronging and pressing you, and why are you saying, who touched me? Now that's the question. He asked the same question in Mark chapter 5. Here's the question. You know, all these people are around you, and how sayest you, who touched me? You know, that's the question. Who touched me is what Jesus said. Now, there were multitudes of people. Remember, you know, because of all the great things that Jesus had been doing, his fame was all across the land, and, you know, people were following him and so forth like that. You know, and there was a lot of multitude around him. You know, they thronged him. The Bible says they thronged him. They were pressed on him, you know. But there was this woman with the issue of her blood. And notice the question that the disciples asked Jesus. I mean, they said, you know, when Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples looked at him and, "You got to be kidding. Who touched you? I mean, all these people are around you." But Jesus said, there is a different kind of touch. Hallelujah, somebody. And that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes here this morning. You know, there's a lot of people that come to church and come to these church services every single day. But perhaps only one person would touch the Lord. There was all these people around Jesus. In fact, some of them were rubbing against him and so forth, but nothing happened to them. They received nothing. But there was this one woman, in fact, she had the issue of blood 12 years. And she had spent all her living with the doctors and so forth, and she'd gone from doctor to doctor, second opinion, third opinion, fourth opinion. Nothing happened. Nothing bettered. But one day, she heard about Jesus. And she said, "Why, my goodness, how am I going to get to him?" There was the crowd and everything and so forth. But she determined in her mind. She said, "I know if I can just touch but the hem of his garment, hallelujah, somebody, I will be made whole." Amen. And Jesus, immediately, when she pressed through and she touched but the hem of his garment. Oh my. And immediately, the Bible says the issue of blood stopped. Put your hands together for Jesus. Immediately, the issue of the blood stopped. Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" And I want to say to you this morning, you know, when we come to church, through all the singing, sometimes the testimonies, sometimes the this and sometimes the that and sometimes the greetings and sometimes that's going on and all that, and everybody keeping holy day in church, but perhaps there will be just one person that will really touch the Lord, you know, and the Lord, he knows the difference. Are you still with me this morning? The Lord knows the difference. See, when we come in like this, I want to challenge you this morning. Every time you come through these doors, put your mind on the Lord. Can I get amen on that? Never mind your neighbor. Never mind somebody else. This woman didn't care, you know, who looked at her and so forth like that. So, I mean, some of the people knew that she had the issue of blood. She didn't care. She was determined to get her miracle. Amen. Amen. If you are determined, you can get a fresh release of a spirit in every service. Hallelujah. You may say, "Well, I don't need a miracle," but you need a touch from God. Everybody needs that, you know. And if you can make a connection with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible, say the Lord. The moment you can connect with God, hallelujah, you know, sift through all of the crowd and all of the everything else that is going and zero in on touching Jesus. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm going to show you some other examples in the Bible, you know, of how there were many people, but only one received the miracle. You know, many people. I mean, there's many of us sitting in the church here this morning, you know, but are you going to be the one that is going to touch Jesus? Are you going to be the one? Can Jesus say of you in the midst of all the crowd, in the midst of everything that's going on, can Jesus say, "Who touched me?" Can he say that of you? Can you get a hold of the Lord here this morning? Or do you just come to church, you know, just, you know, for Sunday? I mean, Sunday, we got to go to church, you know, put on our nice clothes, you know, look forward to seeing your friends, chat with your friends at church, and so on and so forth. Is that the reason why we come to church? Or do you have a reason beyond that? Do you have a need? And can you say within your heart that if I can just touch Jesus this morning, that I know I will receive my miracle? If I can just touch Jesus this morning, I know I will receive a fresh release of His Spirit. Is that you here this morning? Listen to this story in the book of John chapter 5. You heard me preach on this story many times from verse 1 of John chapter 5. You know, there was this thing that used to happen back then. Out of the mercies of God, you know. Out of the mercies of God. You know, God used to send an angel, you know, down there at a certain time of the year, and he would stir up that water, you know. And when he stirred up that water, you know, this thing was noised abroad. The first time it happened, you know, then many people didn't know about it. And after a while, you know, people begin to find out that, look, this thing happens once in a while. When there's a moving of that water, whoever gets in there first gets healed. You know, so everybody, you know, begin to line up. You know, they don't know exactly the day, but they know it's around this time of the season. So when that time comes, they all line up. People come, you know, and even early before the day starts, they would line. Everybody would be surrounded. If you get into the water too soon, you know, you can't get a miracle. You got to time it just right. When you see that staring of that water, you got to be the first one to get in there, and then that's it. And I've seen how you know, some of you women know this better than everybody else. On those Black Fridays, you know what I'm talking about. People will go at 2 a.m. or whatever it is. They go line up at Best Buy and Walmart and whatever, and people will lay out. And what is it they want to get? An iPod, a television, some electronics and whatever. You know, and that's what they want to get. But people can do anything just to get a good deal. Hello, somebody. You know, I mean, how I wish. You know, David, he lamented, say, oh, that man would praise the Lord. You know, and sometimes I lament, I say, oh, that people, you know, would strive to enter in, would press through the crowd, would press through all the noise, would press through everything else and get a hold of Jesus. So this man, every year he come there. He had an infirmity, 38 years, and he kept coming. But because he was crippled, you know, every time that stirring of the water happened, he tries to get in there, but somebody gets in ahead of him. And he couldn't get his miracle, but he kept coming. Amen? Hello, somebody. He kept coming. And now on this particular day, turn with me to John chapter 5. For an angel, verse 4. Went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? So Jesus asked this man. You know, there's all kinds of people there. You know, I want you to notice, there are many, many people there, you know, waiting for this stirring of the water. But Jesus went to only one of them. Are you still with me? There was a lot of them. On this particular day, he didn't heal them all. There were some days when he healed everybody. But on this particular day, everybody was waiting. And Jesus zeroed in on somebody. Because this man, in his heart, he kept coming. And he kept believing that one of these days, it was going to be my turn. But why? It was never his turn because he was too slow. Somebody always got in ahead of him. You know. So finally, Jesus, he came upon the scene. And he saw the man. He said, Hello, mister. You know, will thou be made whole? And the man looked at him and said, What kind of question is that? You know. I'm here, a cripple and everything. See, but Jesus, see, he doesn't force anything on anybody. Amen? Hello? Jesus would ask them, hey, do you want to be made whole or not? You know, I've actually talked to people, you know, that some people say, hey, would you like me to pray for you? And God, Jesus can heal you. And no. You know, I don't want any of that. Well, all right. God bless you. Then I go on. You know? Amen? Praise God. You know? So, but I have a neighbor like that, you know, and so forth. You know? And, but anyway, you know. So, the man said, look, I want to be healed, but, you know, I've been trying to get in this water all these years. Each time, somebody gets in ahead of me. And Jesus said, forget the water. Amen? Forget the water. I'm right here. Amen? Praise God. You know? And the next thing we know, this man is jumping all over the place. Jesus healed him just like that.
But there were a lot of impotent folk, the Bible say, a lot of impotent folk there. But Jesus healed only one. Amen, somebody? There's a lot of impotent folk. And Jesus healed only, on this particular day, he healed only one. There was one of them that had enough, you know, violent thing. You know, because he was not going to be denied. This man in his heart, he was going to get that healing. Didn't matter how long it took him, he kept coming. You know, and that's another encouragement to us that, look, don't be discouraged. Amen? Because if it doesn't happen today, it will happen tomorrow. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, maybe it will happen the next day. But you never know, you know, the hour of your visitation. You never know the hour in which God is going to just descend. You know, that's why when you come into these services, you know, forget what you did last night. Forget what you're going to do after the service. Some of you, your mind is already on what you're going to do after the service. Well, you can't get anything from the Lord that way. Hello, somebody. Jesus cannot compete with things in your life. He doesn't. Amen? Jesus does not compete. You know, I am God and God alone. Hallelujah. I am a jealous God, he said. And he wants to be first place or no place at all. That's it. He cannot be second place in our lives. So if you're thinking of something else instead of putting your mind on the Lord, well, you got your reward then for that thing. You know. But if you zero in on the Lord and ignore anything else that is happening around you, hallelujah. And you might be the one of whom Jesus will say, who touched me. Because there is a blessing in every service. There is a special blessing that God wants to give, but perhaps only one person. Or maybe nobody will get it. You know, if nobody can reach out and touch him, hallelujah. You know, but if you can reach out and you can touch him, like this man, he kept believing God. And of course, Jesus saw this man's faith, you know, and he worked a miracle that this man had been looking for. Now, there's a story that Jesus told the people of Israel, especially their religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and so forth. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. And this was the thing that actually, you know, one of the things that made them to hate Jesus so much, he told them, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 24, he started to tell them, he said, look, verily I say unto you that no prophet is accepted in his own country. And then he told them, verse 25, he said, look, I tell you of a truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah the prophet. See, when the heavens were shut up for 3.5 years and there was great famine throughout the land, there were many widows in Israel, he said. He said, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, except, you know, to a woman, you know, that lives in Sarepta in Sidon, which is outside of Israel and so forth, you know. You know, and then this thing begin to cut the people to their hearts. Because Jesus began to tell them that, look, there were many people in Israel that needed healing, but none of them got anything. But God sent Elijah to this widow, you know, all the way outside of Israel. You know, why didn't he send to all the widows? You know, Jesus told them. And then, you know, they crucified him for statements like that. You know, because, you know, this thing begin to prick them, you know, in his, you know, begin to prick them in their hearts. You know, and Jesus said, look, you know, even in the days of Elisha the prophet, there were many lepers in Israel, but none of them were healed, except Naaman that came all the way from Syria. See, who was even a country that was in enmity with Israel. Hello, somebody. Syria was always at war with Israel back in those days. You know, and it was somebody, you know, it was somebody, chief of army staff from, you know, the Syrians that was healed. His name was Naaman. You know, none of the lepers that were in Israel were healed. But this man that came all the way from nowhere, you know, that shouldn't even have gotten anything because he was even an enemy of Israel, you know, he was the one that was healed. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent are taking it by force. Can I get amen on that? You're not, look, let me tell you something. You know, let me tell you something. This statement alone that Jesus makes in Matthew 11, it's very deep. You're going to have to dissect it by the Spirit of God not to understand what he is saying. You know, so if you think that, look, you know, just coming to church, you know, and so forth like that is going to get, you know, get you the blessing. Well, think again. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. All these people were around Jesus all the time. You know, they were even thronging him, but they got nothing. Because they did not release their faith. There was not a release. There was not a touch. There was not a connection with the Spirit of God. You know. My goodness. And so you can come to church and you can go away after church. Well, you know, sure, you'll be blessed and so forth, because there's a few uplifting songs, you know, a message that's uplifting, this and that and so forth. But did you touch the Lord? Say, did you? Or is your mind on everything else? Praise God. You know, let me also tell you that, look, you cannot touch the Lord, you know, if you have bitterness in your mind. Amen. Hello, somebody. You know, you're still thinking of what somebody did to you, or you're thinking of what your husband did to you, or what your wife did to you, and so forth like that. You know, and some people are actually in church, lifting up their hands and praising the Lord, and they're thinking, I'm going to get him when I get home. I'm going to get him, and I'm going to get her when I get home. And they're raising up their hands. Hallelujah. If he thinks he's going to get, you know, hallelujah, you know. And I say, you know, if you know, she thinks I'm going to do, you know, do her laundry, hallelujah. You're not going to get anything from the Lord thinking that way. You know, praise God. You know, to leave all that stuff outside the door. Hallelujah. When you come in the house of God, you know, you need to determine. You know, one time one man said, look, you know, he got a hold of the angel of the Lord. You know, his name was Jacob. And he said, look, unless you bless me, you know, something's going to happen to one of us tonight. You know, you're not going anywhere. And this man, he wouldn't let the angel go all night long. Finally, well, of course, the angel, he knew some tricks and how to, you know, finally he just touched him somewhere, you know, that would make him limp, and he couldn't grab him anymore, you know, and got away from him. But he still told him, he said, look, my goodness, you know, you are like a prince, and you've got power with God, you know. My, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel because he knew how to get a hold of God. You know, and he didn't care what was going on. He's going to get his blessing. Amen? Praise God. No, when you come to church, you must get yours. Never mind what is going on. And I tell you something too. God is not a respecter of persons. But in every nation, the Bible says, and anywhere, look, God is not. If you can just zero in on God and connect with the Spirit of God, that miracle can be yours. Amen? Praise God. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what is going on. And it doesn't matter, you know, Bible says, but what if some did not believe? Shall the unbelief of them make the faith of God of none effect? Of course not. You know, God only needs one person to believe. Amen? And let me also tell you this story. There was a man called Zacchaeus in the Bible, in Luke chapter 19. In fact, he was a man of small stature. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. This story is in 19 of Luke, verses 1 through 10. This man was of small stature, you know, and there was a lot of people always following Jesus and so forth like that. And this man, he was, you know, tax collector, whatever you want to call it, and all of these things, you know, not exactly, you know, popular with the people, you know. But he wanted to see Jesus. And he said, well, you know, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of people in here, you know, always following him. So how am I going to do this? So let's see how the story went in Luke chapter 19. You know, and but Jesus always knows, you know, those who are desperate for him. That's a song that says, I'm desperate for you. You know, are you desperate for the Lord? You know, and so in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. You know, but he sought to see Jesus, you know. He wanted to see Jesus, but he could not because of the press, because, you know, he was of a small stature, you know, so he was very little, and so the crowd, you know, he couldn't really, you know, get in there. So he said, well, You know, so he decided, well, I know Jesus is coming this way, you know, and I'm going to see Jesus today. So he ran before Jesus and went and climbed up in a tree. And he waited because he said, you know, I have a good vantage point right here. You know, when the crowds come in, I can see Jesus. You know, he ran up in that tree, you know. And when they came up, listen to this. And when Jesus came up to the place where he was, God, Jesus already knew that he did all of that. He looked up. Hallelujah. He looked up, you know. And never mind all the people that were around Jesus and so forth. You know, his attention changed from all the people around him to that little man that was up on the tree. Hallelujah. There was somebody that wanted to see Jesus. Somebody needed a miracle. Somebody needed something. This was even a man that was commonly called a sinner and so forth. So Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today, hallelujah, I must abide at your house. Oh my goodness. Today, Jesus said to this man, I must. Because Jesus had seen his heart. He had seen how he left everything and went up on that thing and said, I must see Jesus. He didn't understand what Jesus was all about, but he had heard all the noise and so forth. He said, I want to see for myself. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, come on down. Come on down. We're going to your house today. Hallelujah. And Jesus, I love Jesus. Jesus never cared about the popular opinion. You know, in fact, the people look at Jesus and say, if you knew what kind of man this was, you wouldn't go into his house. Jesus said, that's exactly the kind of house I want to go into. Hallelujah! Because the Son of Man was a king to call and to save those that were lost. Not the righteous. The righteous, they're okay. You know, they can do whatever. You know, but I want to get those sinners. Amen? Praise God. And Jesus went to this man's house, and the man said, oh, my Lord. You come into my house, my last. And already, the Holy Ghost began to prick his heart. He said, look, you know, I'm going to return all this money I got from people by extortion. And I will do all this. He didn't tell him anything. And he began to repent. He said, look, I'm going to return this. I'm going to do that. And Jesus said, salvation is come to your house today. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Salvation is come to your... Now, all those people that were following Jesus, none of them received that kind of benediction. Unto none of them did Jesus say, I am coming to your house today. But there were many people in the crowd. All of them following him and so forth. And Jesus, he found this man who was condemned, a sinner and so forth, you know, and all that kind of thing. He was up there and so forth. Jesus, come on down. We're going to your house. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so the story today is, who touched me? Who touched me? Jesus said. You know, hallelujah. And I want to tell you, you know, and I shared it with some of the brother during the week. I said, the Lord, I've been praying for the church. And I said, Lord, you know, do something for the people of God. You know, let there be a lifting up and so forth. You know, so, you know, you heard the story, you know, and that led up to the anointing of increase and so on. You know, so, and he showed me this time curve. You know, and there's something that God is doing that is changed. Hallelujah. we're going this way. You know, everybody's going this way. All of a sudden, he takes us this way. Amen. Praise God. You know, but then again, I looked and I see that, well, it's not really everybody, you know, but he really wanted. You know, my heart was that the Lord will so bless the people of God. You know, a lot of people are blessed and so forth. But then again, you know, some people are missing out, you know, because they cannot release their faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Can I get an amen? You cannot get anything from God. You know, you cannot get. Now, I want to tell you this. By the word of the Lord, God has ordained a time curve here for us at GMI. What that means is, look, God has ordained a time of refreshing. Amen? A time of blessing. It's a season. There's a season for everything. There's kind of like a season when somebody came an angel came and stared at the pool. Well, there's a season that God has ordained, but you must reach out and touch the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, now, somebody, there's a song that used to say, look, not my father, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. I'm the one that's standing right here. in the need of prayer. I'm the one that's standing in the need of miracle. Amen? Praise God. Now, unless you are a little child that don't know left from right, you know, then maybe your parents should believe for you and so forth. And that's good. You know. But if you have understanding in the house, when you come to the house, you must believe the Lord for yourself. Amen? And never mind what anybody else is doing or not doing, for that matter. Amen? Some people are worried about, well, why are they not doing it? Don't worry about that. You do something and get a hold of God. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Never mind what they are not doing or somebody is doing. In fact, one time, you know, Jesus said to Peter, you know, feed my lambs and so on. You know, Jesus, and Peter said, well, that's okay. You know, and he said to her, and he said to him, do you love me? Feed my lambs. And he said to him three times until Peter got, and Peter said, okay, well, you know, all of that is good. But what about this man, John? Well, what is he going to do? And Jesus said, never mind about John. You do what I asked you to do. Amen? That's the problem with most people. They're always worried about what somebody else is not doing or what somebody else is doing. And then they miss out on the blessing of God. Never mind the other person. You know, you lead them unto their master. Amen? You know, but you go thou and do the works of God. Amen. And the works of God is that you may believe on him who he has sent. That's right. You know, you need to get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. Hallelujah. And Jesus, this morning, he's looking down to see who is going to touch him. And you know, he has these angels. You know, some of you know this, and some of you may not know. And I pray that someday the Lord will show you, you know, how these angels work. Because he has these angels, and sometimes he has conference with the angels. And he'll say, you know, all right, you know, what's going on? You know, not that he doesn't know, but he likes to let the angels think that they are doing something. You know, so he said, what's going on? And they say, you know, and I tell you what, you know, these angels, they are busy. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth. You know, so God doesn't need to move an inch. Amen? Those angels are his eyes. You know, they're like the patrollers. You know, they're moving out and so forth like that. You know, God can see everything. He doesn't need to move. He already knows everything from beginning to the end. Amen. But the angels, they go and they come and say, yes, you know. You know, and they, you know, they can bring either a good report concerning you or an evil report. You know, they can say, well, you know, such and such is believing you for this and this. And the Lord said, all right. Is that a fact? I said, yes. So, well, go down there and make sure it happens. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. That is the job of the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to make sure that what you are believing God for happens? That's the translation of that verse. He will say that, go down there and make sure it happens. Well, and sometimes maybe he'll say, well, you know, maybe the angels say, well, you know, gee, you know, they're praising you. But, you know, we don't really see anybody that's connected. Say, well, that's fine then. Say, move on to another place. The Lord said, move on to another place. You know, but if you can find somebody there, you know, during the praise and so forth, can you find somebody in there during the praise that is actually looking to touch me? And say, oh, yeah. I see somebody. Say, all right. Praise God. Let us go and fellowship with that person. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in and I will fellowship. I will sup with him. Amen? Praise God. You know, I will come in, I will have fellowship. And then if you can make that connection with the Lord, you know, you can separate yourself from the crowd. Amen? That's the way that you separate yourself from the crowd, is by making a connection with the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. And the Lord is looking for that person. The same thing works. It works the same way when you're looking for a miracle. You know, when you want a miracle, something to happen for you. You know, the psalmist said, look, I went with people that kept holy day to the house of God. But yet my soul was burning inside of me. You know, sometimes we come to church, you know, and we get lifted up by, you know, the praise and all of this thing. But sometimes there's a burden in your heart, you know. But why would you come to church with such a burden in your heart Maybe it's a healing that you want. Maybe it's something, you know, finances or whatever it is, or you are standing for somebody else. Why would you come with such a burden in the church and live with that burden still? Hello? Are the hands of the Lord shortened that he cannot save? His hands are not shortened that he cannot save. The reason that you don't get what you want from the Lord sometimes is you have not learned how to connect with the Lord in spite of whatever else is going around you. You have not learned, like this woman, to connect with the Lord no matter what else. After you've tried everything else, this woman has tried everything else, nothing has worked for 12 years. And then she said, well, I am resolved what I'm going to do. You know, when I hear of Jesus coming, I'm going to get in that crowd somehow. And I am going to touch the hem of his garment. If I can just but touch something, I know I will be healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if you have a burden in your heart this morning, if you need something from the Lord, if you need a miracle from God, doesn't matter what you need. You know, and I want to also tell you this. I told somebody during the week, I said, look, you know, what God wants to do for you is multiple miracles and continual supply. Amen? Praise God. You know, God is not just a one-time God. Praise the name of Jesus. In fact, what God has for you, you know, in relationship to what you ask from God, or the other way around, what you ask from God in relationship to what God has for you is like you taking a bucket to the ocean. Hello, somebody. You can take a bucket to the ocean and keep taking, and the water will not be depleted. Hallelujah. That's right. You know. And that means that every single service, God has something for you. That means in every single service, you can get a hold of God. And if there's nothing else, you can get a fresh release of the Spirit of God. In every service. Hallelujah. Now, of course, if you need a miracle here this morning, and I don't care, you know, not that I don't care, but it doesn't matter what it is that you need from God. Jesus says, you know, that I am in the midst of my people. Amen? Praise God. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Now, if you need a miracle in here this morning, or you need healing, you know, sometimes also when we come to church, you know, sometimes we have learned to live with the pain. Hello, somebody. People have learned to live with the pain. You know, you have pain, but you've learned to live with it. You know, like this woman, she learned to live with it for 12 years, you know, and so forth. You know, went to every doctor and all that and finished all her money, but didn't get any better. She learned to live with it, you know. But one time, she said, look, that's it. You know, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Amen. Amen, somebody. Praise God. You're going to have to take it. You know, nobody's going to give it to you. You're going to have to take it. Jesus himself said, look, when a strong man is keeping his goods, you know, everything, he thinks everything is secure, you know. But when a stronger than him, he's not going to give it up easily. But when a stronger than he comes upon him, and first he will bind that strong man and then spoil his goods. You know, so you're going to have to use the force of spiritual arms to get some things. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine means that, look, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you are whole. And if there's anything, there's any pain, or there's any this and so forth, you don't have to live with the pain. Hallelujah. You don't need to come into the presence of God where the glory of God is and then still go out with the pain. Whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain, whatever it is, if you can release yourself and get a hold of Jesus, Jesus might be able to say concerning you, who touched me? Hallelujah. Now, if you are in here this morning, that's you, and you want to touch the Lord, I want you to come out right here, real quick. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I am going to pray the prayer, and I'm going to declare the word that is going to change your situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. The thing, whatever it is, that you are believing the Lord for this morning. Never mind who is looking at you. If you think somebody is looking at you, you're not going to get anything from the Lord. You have to forget everybody else. And God, when He sees your faith, He knows what He's going to do for you. You know? Hallelujah. And the Lord says, the angels of God that are excelling in strength, Psalm 103 verse 20, they are waiting for the voice of God's command. They are waiting to hear something that you will be believing God for so that they can move into action. And if you are here this morning and you are believing God, and I see a lot of you here, I want you to lift up your hands. I want you to say within your soul that, Lord, I am here for you. And I want something. I want a miracle. I need something from you this morning. I need something, Lord. And I will not go away empty. The Bible says the only people that God sends away empty are the rich. The rich He has sent away empty. That's those who say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Those are the only ones that God ever sends away empty. But He lifted up the beggar out of the dunghill and set him among the princes of God. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. I'm waiting for the moving of the Spirit of God. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. Now God wants to do something for somebody in here this morning. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, the word of God will not return void. The word of God shall not return void. God will accomplish the purpose. That word is going to accomplish the purpose of God in your life this morning. Hallelujah. One of the things that God wants to do is frustrate the talking of the liars. When the enemy tells you that you can live with the pain, you know, you can live with the pain. No, you don't need to live with the pain. Hallelujah. And you don't need to keep spending all your living with doctors either. There is a physician in the house. His name is Jesus. And He doesn't manage your pain. You know, like they do. And the people in the healthcare, they do a wonderful job. But most times, they, you know, help you manage your pain. Jesus doesn't help you manage your pain. He heals. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to reach out and touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
He's passing this way. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find that He's not too busy to meet your heart's cry. If you can believe it, and if you can reach out, you know, you can get whatsoever you can believe the Lord for this morning. Hallelujah. Is there somebody in the house that is going to touch me here this morning? The Lord asks. Who touched me there this morning? Who is the person that is going to open that channel of blessing from heaven because you touched the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. Lift up your hands and I'm going to believe God with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, You are the great God, the Alpha and the Omega. The one, Lord, that can open and no man can shut. And the one that shuts and no man can open. You are the one, Lord, that created all things by the word of Your power. And You are the one that has said concerning Your people, I will restore, saith the Lord. Now, Lord, let Your power be great in here this morning. And move in the lives of this Your people, Lord. As they reach out to touch You, Lord. Hallelujah. Who touched me? Will You touch the Lord this morning? Who touched me in here this morning is the question that the Lord wants to ask. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find that he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Hallelujah. If you believe it, there is a miracle for you here this morning. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You don't have to live with the pain anymore. You don't have to live with the distress anymore. Leave it at the cross this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I want to let you know that the Lord, he knows all of your needs. Amen. And he's going to raise you up. Praise God. If you believe that, praise the name of the Lord Jesus with a hand clap here this morning.